where my mind goes is how do you, and this is probably fresh off the fact that we just had our first kid, and so I know where all the brands are, but like, how do you like curate a home with all the best brands? Like, you've got like, hey, we've got like, you know, a Nuna stroller, and we've got like, you know, like we've got the outlet already set up for you, or whatever it might be. Hey, everybody, and welcome to a special three-part podcast series on the state of the short-term rental industry brought to you by my friends at Uplisting, one of the most powerful property management systems on the market. Over the next 3 weeks, join Vinnie Breslin, co-founder and CEO of Uplisting, and yours truly, Zach Buzicruz from Behind the Stays, as we unpack Uplisting's latest trends report. Airbnb hosts and short-term rental operators often work independently without much intel as to how their peers are marketing their properties, increasing their booking rates, and how much money folks are actually making from their portfolios. In order to address this issue, the Uplisting team took it upon themselves to collect and analyze data from their own customers, as well as hundreds of other STR owners and operators in the industry. This special podcast series will unveil some of the more interesting findings from this report and equip you with the insight that you need to figure out how your business compares to others. Uplisting invites you to download the full free report via the link in the show notes below. All right, folks, without further ado, grab a cup of coffee or your favorite evening cocktail and settle in for an informative and timely three-part conversation. All right, folks, we are back with episode 3 of this special three-part Uplisting and Behind the Stays series. I am once again sitting down with founder and CEO of Uplisting, Vinnie Breslin. Vinnie, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, Zach. Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm excited for this conversation. It's been fun to really spend the last, you know, couple episodes here unpacking this wonderful state of short-term rentals report that you all put out, which, again, for those who are just joining us in this at this part of the conversation, there are two episodes that we'll have published previous to this conversation that are all that are really sort of like an augmentation of this great report that the Uplisting team put out. So if you want to download the report and or if you haven't listened to episodes 1 and 2, you can do so by just scrolling down to the show notes below. But Vinny, we're going to really spend today talking about what I think might be, you know, one of the more important topics with respect to anyone that is interested in building a brand for their business, right? Any host that's interested in not just being a short-term rental host, but seeing themselves as like a hospitality entrepreneur, right? And one of the things that your all's report covers, which I thought was super interesting, was how different size portfolios think about their marketing strategies. And obviously, yeah, you know, folks use OTAs. There's now this lots of conversation around the importance of direct bookings. And depending on sort of like what side of the aisle you fall on, you might have a strong opinion one way or the other about these things. But I'd love to just kick off by understanding what your respondents to your survey said about how they think about marketing their short-term rentals.
Yeah, well, an overwhelming amount of the respondents are doing, you know, they're marketing themselves. I think that's the question you're asking. They're, you know, the majority of our respondents are, as you might expect, you know, reliant on Airbnb.
Yeah.
In particular, as in Airbnb, not just the entire, you know, OTA world.
Yeah.
So the default is very much let's get this property and put it up on Airbnb. That's like the, you know, that's the first step for most people.
Yeah. And so I'm curious, like, how does that change as an individual's business grows? I know that a lot of the respondents to this survey are property managers, right? And so how are these folks thinking about sort of diversifying their marketing strategy and or even just sort of diversifying their OTA strategy as they grow? Is there anything particularly like meaningful there?
Yeah, well, we last episode we talked about one of the biggest challenges across the board is more bookings, getting bookings.
Yeah,
and you know, I guess to a point, you know, especially when you're scaling, where you need to fill your occupancy, and that can get more challenging. So, We don't have anything in the report about like, you know, what channels or what OTAs that you're listed on. It's, you know, it's very common within uplisting, at least, that we, you know, most of our customers are on multiple channels, and it typically goes, it depends where you are and what your niche is. But say in the UK, for example, we have a lot of large operators or a lot of service accommodation operators, which is kind of like a working traveler type target market.
Yep.
Booking.com was extremely popular for them. So a lot of our UK customers, and, you know, small and large, have a greater percentage of Booking.com reservations than Airbnb, which is the kind of the opposite of the most of our members. So most of our members have around, on average, it's 60% Airbnb bookings on our platform.
Okay.
Then Booking.com, then Direct, and then Vrbo and Google are a little bit smaller than that.
Wow, that's actually pretty interesting. I would have expected Vrbo to be second after Airbnb and before Booking, but that's super interesting that for your customer base, it's not necessarily true.
No, it's not for our customer base. Yeah, and it's Vrbo, I think, you know, in the US, if you're looking at from a US centric kind of position, you would expect them to be largely Booking.com, and across the US that would be true. But just for out of intro, to give you some context, over half of our properties are in the US. And then almost, you know, 40% in the UK.
Okay. That is super helpful context. And today's hospitality entrepreneurs understand the importance of owning the entire guest experience, which is why building acquisition channels through direct bookings outside of OTAs like Airbnb and Vrbo is so important. And while there are many great property management systems out there that can help you build a direct booking site, uplisting empowers property managers with so much more than a basic website template, which is, unfortunately, what you tend to get with a lot of the other guys. With uplisting's suite of direct booking tools, property managers can become their own channel and capitalize on referrals and repeat business. You can launch beautifully designed and fully optimized booking pages in seconds, even if you don't know how to write a single line of code. Additionally, if you have a website that you just love already, uplisting allows you to easily embed their booking widget on your existing site, whether it's built on WordPress, Wix, Squarespace, or any other website builder. A lot of short-term rental hosts are nervous to scale their direct bookings because of all the tools that Airbnb offers to protect their rentals. Well, uplisting's direct booking tools include a guest identity verification, the ability to easily collect security deposits and reservation payments, and a fully optimized mobile experience that lets you and your guests do all of this from their phone. Whether you have a single property or hundreds of properties, uplisting is designed to help you accelerate growth with incredible reliability, critical marketing automation, and the most powerful direct booking engine to ever hit the market. You can start your 14-day free trial at uplisting.io/BTS-podcast. That's BTS as in behind the stage dash podcast. And once you've fallen in love with all that this platform has to offer, 20% off of your first year of uplisting when you use the code BTS20 at checkout. Again, that's BTS as in behind the stays, 20 at checkout. But act fast because this offer expires on June 30th, 2023. So check out uplisting, thank them for producing this wonderful series with us, and get started at uplisting.io/BTS-podcast. And don't forget to use the code BTS20 at checkout. Thanks, guys. You know, one of the questions, Vinny, that I've been dying to ask somebody like you who has this like broader perspective on the industry is what is the sentiment around OTAs that you're hearing? Obviously, like there are people who are very vocal on like Twitter and LinkedIn that are, you know, bashing OTAs left and right and talking about, you know, you got to go direct, like screw Airbnb. And there's certainly like a lot of sentiment around that. But, you know, I wonder, like, how much is that actually felt for most people? Like, did anything in the survey or just anything that you know anecdotally from what your customers tell you, is there sort of this common hatred? That's maybe an extreme word, but is there this common, like, resentment towards OTAs right now? Or is that, like, a lot fewer people than we might expect that feel that way?
Yeah, that's a hard one to answer because there are so many different opinions, and you do see the vocal ones. But yeah. there's definitely a huge number of people who love Airbnb, love yeah. everything about Airbnb, have no interest in looking at other channels.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, have no interest in looking at other channels or doing anything else, and until the point where they don't start, you know, they start bookings start drying up, and they're like, shit, I need to have a look at what else yeah. is out here. You know, and there's a lot of things that Airbnb do extremely well.
Yeah.
But first of all, having, you know, the most recognizable brand in the space.
Yeah.
So they get the most consumers and guests. But they also have, you know, their policies, like their insurance and the names escape me now, but the, you know, the hosts, you know, whatever they have there,
like air cover and stuff like that. Yeah.
Air cover, yeah, whatever. All of those things that make hosts feel comfortable. And even though they may not actually be that, robust,
yeah.
Maybe is the word. And you kind of only find that out when you don't get something going your way. But just the general feeling of it, the thought process, people think that Airbnb is a much safer bet than any other booking site or going direct. So there's that kind of segment.
Yeah.
There's then the segment that are not getting as many bookings as they need, so they have to diversify. And it's hard. It's like not necessary. You don't necessarily come to that conclusion until you just don't start getting more bookings. You're like, okay, I need to make a change now.
Yeah.
And then you have others who are, you know, appalled at the commission that they're charging, or, you know, the money, the potential revenue that they're taking from the property manager, the property owner.
Yeah.
So yeah, we see, I think it's a whole broad range that we see. Typically we see people that are looking to diversify. You know, we are a channel manager, so one of the main values that we offer is being able to list across multiple booking sites.
Yep.
So that's the reason why you would use uplisting over just being on Airbnb exclusively.
Yeah. 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 No, that's super helpful context there. One of the things, it just reminded me of a conversation I literally had with somebody yesterday who they are an operator of, and they own probably 25% of this portfolio, but they, manage the rest of it, about 200 properties, 200 units. And most of them are like apartments in apartment buildings, but then they have like single family homes and whatnot. Nothing like particularly, like they don't have a tons of like unique stays or anything like that. Pretty sort of like traditional places. But anyways, this individual was telling me, and he's like pretty like well known in the industry. I won't reveal his name, but he was telling me, he was like, dude, to be honest with you, like between you and me, right, I don't think the OTAs are charging enough. He's like, we are exclusive to Airbnb. And he said, my personal opinion on this is like, I'm a great operator, right? I'm a great real estate investor. I'm not a marketer. I'm not a website developer. Like I don't have interest in like building like a brand, right? And Airbnb does all of that for me. And for the percentage that they actually take, right? Like to me, that's nothing. Like they should be charging more, is kind of what he was saying. So it's funny, like hearing that right sentiment, right? Mm-hmm. On the one hand, and then hearing like lots of other folks in the space talk very, very clearly. Yeah. Go ahead.
Which is very true. It is true. They do a fantastic job. And that's, you know, it's extremely expensive for them to make that reality. But I think if you're talking about the percentage, I imagine he's referring to the 3% fee and not the 3 plus 15, the 20% that the guest is charged. So I'm looking at it, and I think the way that you should look at it is Airbnb's taking, you know, up to 20% of your booking, at least 15%.
Yeah.
So that's a significant amount.
It is. And again, like, you know, he's got scale, and maybe, if, you know, just with respect to kind of his business and like what he's charging and who his sort of like, you know, guest avatar is, like maybe it's clearly still like a benefit to him. Otherwise he'd, you know, he's fully capable of doing something else.
Yeah.
But anyways, it is just interesting. Yeah. And the only reason I wanted to bring up this point and harp on it for a little bit here is because I do think a lot of the people like listening to this podcast, and if you're active in the short-term rental community online at all, I do feel like overwhelmingly the OTAs get knocked. And I totally get it, right? But at the same time, I do think it's worth just remembering, like, hey, like, you know, there's also a ton of value, right? The fact that you can list,
for
like
sure.
Vinny, you just got this, you know, short-term rental. I assume you're going to list it on Airbnb. What's crazy is like you, the day you buy it, like you could list this thing on Airbnb and you could have a booking within like, you know, a couple of hours after you hit go live, right? That is insane. That would not be possible in like any other context.
Totally.
So anyways.
I think definitely I'm pro, totally pro Airbnb and you know, the booking sites. I think for some people who may not understand how challenging it is, to do that, as you've just explained, you know, I could literally get a booking tomorrow. If I had to go out and do this all by myself, then that's, you know, I'm just not getting that booking tomorrow. It's going to be very difficult to get that booking tomorrow.
Yeah.
They provide them, you know, fantastic value, and Airbnb are constantly innovating. They're constantly, you know, if you're looking at this direct booking kind of wave, which we might talk about in a second.
Yeah.
I think Airbnb are, you know, as they release all of these features and benefits to their hosts, they, you know, it's good competition. You know, they're constantly improving their platform and staying out as market leader. Like I'm very bullish on Airbnb as well.
Yeah. Well, that is a nice segue into kind of like my next question for you is, and we've been hitting on this already, but is this whole idea of direct bookings, right? Again, if you're pretty well steeped into the online conversation in the short-term rental community, this is not a new concept, and it sort of seems like everyone, like if you're, I feel like the language out there makes it seem like if you're really smart, right, you'll develop a direct booking strategy. And if you don't develop a direct booking strategy, you're like, you probably, like, you know, don't really care about, you know, being owning your business. I think some folks out there even say things like, you know, if you are strictly listing on OTAs, like you're not really a business owner, you're an employee, and you know, your boss is Brian Chesky from Airbnb. Mm-hmm. There's certainly some narrative out there around that, right? But I'm curious from what you have seen with your surveys, and also just again anecdotally from what you know about your customers, how big is this movement of booking direct? Like, is it really on the margins, or is it actually like gaining a lot of like momentum and steam?
Well, I think it is gaining it. Well, maybe we can step back here and say that direct bookings were a thing way before any OTA came along.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, they've all, direct bookings has always been there. So I don't think it's a margin thing. It might be more of a margin thing for the newer entrants, which into the industry, you know, so they don't necessarily know what direct bookings are, you know, pre Airbnb and such, what existed there. I saw an interesting report from AirDNA recently where they said that direct bookings appear to be on the decline. Huh. Over the past 5 years, we estimate that revenue from guest booking direct or through small OTAs has gone from 54% to 36% of total bookings for short-term rentals.
Wow.
Which is interesting. I guess it depends on how you interpreted that information. But it does appear that the OTAs are, you know, an ever-increasing source of bookings. I think there's, you know, I mentioned about direct bookings being a source well before the OTAs came along. So there's a lot of operators, I think, that are who have historically relied on direct bookings that are then, you know, going to Airbnb and being able to increase revenue and get more bookings. So I guess that makes sense. But still, you know, whatever the fuss or the hype, you know, in either direction, direct bookings are a way for you to increase your revenue. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
It's the effectiveness, I think, of direct bookings depends on your business model. So, you know, many of our members get more direct bookings than they get bookings through OTAs.
And
it depends on that. I mentioned before, their niche. These are like business or like working travelers, for example, and they source those bookings in different ways. So it could be direct to the employer. You know, for example, if there's an enormous Facebook or Google office somewhere, they need accommodation. You know, might not be the best examples, but there's a lot of companies like that who bring in staff who need accommodation. So you can go direct to the source rather than, you know, relying on Airbnb or whatnot. So there's definitely a huge broad range of direct bookings, but that's an example.
Yeah.
And then, you know, somebody who we're familiar with on Twitter, like Isaac Bench, who I love reading his tweets and, you know, what he's doing. So they have a number of cabins in one location, and direct bookings are I think the majority of their source, which, you know, so it does extremely well for them as well. So I think there's, you know, bottom line, it's something that I think you should, I'm definitely going to have it in my property here that we've just purchased. You need direct bookings as a sort of reservations.
Yeah.
So you can make money from it. It's, you know, a bit more work than an Airbnb, obviously, but, I think from uplisting, looking at our users, and we have around 1,000 customers currently. A number of those, like our direct booking website, is activated by a majority of those. So it's definitely something that's appealing to operators.
Yeah, yeah, it's super interesting trying to make sense of like that stat you just shared from AirDNA, and then also I don't know if it was their Q1 earnings report or their Q4 of 2022's earnings report, but there was some article that was trending around social media recently about how apparently, right, I have not actually read these source materials, so this is like secondhand information, but you know, like Brian Chesky, Airbnb team, talk about the fact that, you know, one of their biggest threats are hosts actually, like, you know, moving off platform and building up their own sort of like direct booking channels and strategies. So you've got that happening. You've also got this info from AirDNA saying direct bookings are down. And what I'm just making this up as we go here, but one of the first thought that popped into my head as to why both of these things could be true is you're probably seeing these more traditional operators, right, who have been in the business for a while and have pretty much solely relied on direct bookings, kind of reaching an inflection point where they're like, wow, our guest avatars, people are getting younger. The younger audience doesn't necessarily know of, you know, mom and pop, you know, beach homes in Myrtle Beach or whatever it is, right? Like, we can't rely on the fact that the same families have been coming to us for the same weeks in the, you know, every summer for the past, like, you know, two decades, right? The world has just changed. So you probably see more traditional operators who have kind of like held out, right, for a while, now coming and being like, hey, you know what, we got to at least be on the OTAs. So there's probably like that dynamic happening. Simultaneous to that dynamic is probably the fact that you've also seen these newer people that started on Airbnb. They grew these like massive brands, right, for themselves. And now they're at a point where, you know, like Isaac French, as you mentioned, is a great example of this. He's got close to 100,000 people that are following Live Oak Lake on Instagram, right? He's at a point where like he doesn't, and his operations are just incredible. He doesn't need Airbnb, right? People are 70-80% of his bookings are now direct. And that's, again, I think because he's built up this great brand. He launched on Airbnb. Yeah. He started on Airbnb, right? And then he built up this brand. And now maybe he's at a point where like he doesn't need the OTAs as much, right? So I wonder if that dynamic too is true of like there are newer people that have joined the space that understand branding, that understand what, you know, younger millennials and Gen Z and even older millennials might want from a travel experience. And because they've cultivated these great brands, they don't need to rely so heavily on OTAs, and actually it's more beneficial for them if they can build up solid direct booking strategies. So I wonder if, you know, those two things are what's making both this report from AirDNA and also this report from Airbnb true.
Not true. Yeah, potentially. I can't say either way.
Yeah, we're just making shit up, so who knows. But but
I mean, it makes sense.
It seems like it could be plausible. Yeah. Well, one of the questions I wanted to ask Vinny again in this lane of marketing and whatnot is, at what point in time are you seeing, again, based off of respondents, what are you all seeing? When are people graduating to these like other marketing strategies? So obviously direct booking, right, means you have a direct booking site and you are owning the guest experience and you own guest data, and that's all great. But that you know, really only works if you have some method to drive people to your direct booking site, right? Whether that's being active on Instagram, whether that's, you know, figuring out how to rank well for keywords that matter to you and to your home or to your portfolio via SEO, whether that's paid search. So at what point in time do folks kind of graduate to using these other marketing strategies as a part of their mix?
Yeah, so we have the three bands here that we notice, or three data points that were quite interesting. So once our respondents got to around 100,000 in revenue, we see email marketing get a significant increase. So that made us think that at that point, these operators are starting to build their own list in some kind of way.
Yeah,
but that was the first kind of level. $500,000 plus in revenue, we see more diversification of channels. So we saw paid ads start to become a thing. So okay. Google Ads and Instagram and whatnot. And also influencer marketing, as well as other different sites like Booking.com, Vrbo and such. And then from 1 million up in revenue, we saw, this is where like SEO and email marketing become increasingly important. And that makes sense, you know, so at a certain scale, you need to acquire guests as cheaply as possible. And SEO and email marketing are very effective ways to do that.
Yeah, that is super helpful. And like, this is, again, one of my favorite insights from the report, because again, it provides some sort of like benchmark. So if you're kind of below 100K in revenue right now, and you are listening to all these podcasts that say like, hey, you got to start your email list, right? If you haven't done that yet, you know, you're in good company, which doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, right? But and then it's really kind of at that 500K in revenue mark where folks are really actually pouring in investment and time into paid search, right? Into thinking a little bit more critically about social's impact. And then it's after a million that people are really trying to figure out, okay, hey, what are the keywords that we want to rank for on Google? How do we do a better job at building up our own website, let alone a direct booking site, so that we can rank meaningfully for people that are searching for things like vacation rentals in Ohio? They're not using Airbnb in their search term necessarily, right? How does your website rank well for those particular terms? So that sort of framework is super helpful. Hey guys, it's Zach. If you're enjoying this episode, could you do me two very quick favors? First, this show is possible thanks to a handful of incredible organizations who've signed on to be advertising partners of Behind the Stays. It would mean the world to me if you'd take just a second to scroll down to the show notes and go learn more about this episode's sponsor. Even if you aren't in the market for agency support or a new PMS at the moment, it never hurts to be aware of who else is out there. And second, if you're listening to this episode on Spotify, could you be so kind as to give Behind the Stays a 5-star rating? And if you're on Apple Podcasts, could you submit a quick review and let me know what you love most about the show? I know it seems trivial, but these things really, really do help us grow the show. And just a reminder that if you've ever got feedback from me on how to make the show better, shoot me an email directly at Zach, that's Z-A-C-H, at spontaneous.com. You all really are the best. I love receiving your emails and DMs. All right, so check out the sponsor and leave us a rating and a review, please. All right, guys, back to the show. I'm curious, this is really just more of like, you know, Vinny's unfiltered thoughts and has less to do with the actual report here, but where do you see, from your perspective, as somebody, again, who's well steeped in the industry, and you're leading, you know, one of the best players in the space with respect to property management software. So where do you see sort of the biggest opportunity for short-term rental owners and operators to build brands right now? Like, are there gaps that you see in the marketplace? Like, if you were consulting with somebody and encouraging them, hey, if you really want to start a hospitality company, if you really want to build a brand in this space, here's like the niche I think that you should go after, or here are the niches you should avoid. Any sort of, you know, musings on this?
Yeah, these all depend on as well where, you know, is it across the states kind of brand you want? Is it a local brand? You know, there's, those are questions that are, we need to answer, obviously. But, you know, for me, I think we see these companies like Wander, who are targeting, I guess Gen Z, is it? I kind of lost touch of where.
I don't think Gen Z can afford Wander, and that's what's funny.
What's the one between millennials?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but so, I think you're right. I think you're right that a lot of their marketing is like definitely like towards Gen Z. But I'm like, I don't know a single Gen Z who can pay $600 a night to stay at this place. But anyways, I digress.
Yeah. Well, I'm a millennial, so I can talk to millennials. But they know what they're doing, right? So I'm not gonna. I just got their generation. Wrong, but so we have those that are targeting millennials that are looking for like an experience that in these beautiful homes with beautiful furniture and Instagrammable, you know, and they just look amazing. Their entire experience. So that's you know, we're seeing that. I think there's so many more niches like that. Like one, for example, I think is families. You know, we find it you know, when we, so I have a family, my wife, we've got two kids. So when we're traveling, we prefer to stay in a short-term rental because it's much easier than, a one-bedroom hotel.
Yeah.
A two-bedroom hotel, whatever it is. So we're always looking for short-term rentals, but there's no, like, at least to my mind, there's no family-focused niche.
Yeah.
Platform that I can go to and say, okay, yeah, I can say that property, and I know that they're going to have a pack and play. I know they're going to have high chairs, kids utensils, kid-friendly toys, all those kind of things. But I think that's one that I would I'd love to see at some point from a personal perspective. And I think there's many more, you know, like that are available to be targeted.
Yeah,
yeah. So there's I think generally there's a lot of opportunity, I would say.
I love the
in generally.
Oh yeah, yeah. I love that example actually, because I haven't seen like a brand emerge that is really focused on the family stay. Like, and I'm even thinking like where my mind goes is how do you, and this is probably fresh off the fact that we just had our first kid. And so I know where all the brands are, but yeah. Like, how do you like curate a home with all the best brands? Like you've got like, hey, we've got like, you know, a Nuna stroller, and we've got like, you know, like we've got the Owlet already set up for you or whatever it might be. Right. Like this is maybe for younger kids, but like, yeah, what that would absolutely, like if I saw that in a description and there was a cool place that you knew was going to be safe and have all the amenities that you'd want for your young children, that would absolutely stand out. If anyone's listening and looking to start a hospitality brand, Vinny, I think that's a great idea.
I think so. We like in a property we've just bought here, it's definitely going to be a family friendly listing. So we will have all the equipment and both because we need it ourselves, but also because I think it's not well catered for. I don't know. I mean, it's just, which seems crazy to me because, you know, it's an ideal market for full properties, you know, for short-term rentals.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an example of an opportunity. So I think there's so many more like that. There's so many more experience-based opportunities as well. And I think we're going to see a lot of interesting movements in the space over the next few years. But then it's also how, you know, I think it's also important for operators to build their own brand. It may not have to be a specific niche in like family friendly or millennials, but you need to know your guests, you know, who you're targeting.
Yeah.
And then build your brand around that. And you know, there's a number of ways you can do that.
Yeah. As you're talking to you, I was reminded of Taylor Jones from TechVestors had posted this thing on Twitter of one of their properties where he has like, there's like a slide, it's like a bunk bed, and there's like a slide down from like the top bunk to like the bottom to like the ground floor or whatever. And just seeing that I'm like, oh my gosh, brilliant. Like what kid, like when their parents are like, you know, scrolling through Airbnb, scrolling through, you know, whatever OTA, if the kid were to see something like that, they'd be like, I want to go there, right? Like, and the parent couldn't say no, right? Like, and even the parent being able to show off to the kid, hey, look, this is where you get to go. Yeah. Like, and yet it's, I'm sure that was like, you know, somewhat complicated to figure out how to do, but it's not like it was that hard, right? And it's those sort of like small things that I think from a branding standpoint, you could be known for. You could be known as like, hey, every single one of our properties in our bunk room, we have a slide, right? Like something simple as that really, really, really stands out.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And another example is for my family, I think I mentioned this in one of the episodes, we have like a guest house my parents built after I'd left for university. But the guest house is a 16-bed guest house. It's huge, like a huge industrial kitchen, huge living area, dining area, you know, all ensuite bed. They're all big ensuite bedrooms. And they always operated this as a guest house to rent per room. About 18 months ago, I think during COVID, we decided to test it out as a short-term rental.
Yeah.
So you could rent the entire house. And we've kind of gone through a few iterations of that. So you have the entire house, you can rent half the house, you can rent, you know, various iterations of how you can rent it to try and maximize the revenue from it. But because of the property, it's, you know, the people we were getting were family reunions.
Yeah.
It was hen parties. I don't know, who call it hen parties over here? Bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, and you know, any kind of group gathering, it's a perfect location, perfect property for it. So we've kind of gone from you know, just putting up an Airbnb and getting bookings that way to targeting hen party or bachelorette party planners and bachelor party planners and family gatherings and
I was just gonna say, so sorry, you keep saying N parties. Is that like
hen,
a
hen, H-E-N.
Hen, hen.
What we call it, at least in Ireland and the UK. I think in Australia as
and
well.
That's a bachelorette party. That's a bachelorette party?
Yeah. Yeah. And bachelor parties, we call them stag dudes.
Okay. That's funny, dude. I like it. I like that better. Those are way cooler names. But anyway, sorry to cut you off there. But yeah, so you guys have pivoted, like you've really sort of like leveraged this as like, hey, this is a place where you should come if you want to have a reunion, if you want to have a party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, golfing tours. So we have a lot of people come from golfing tours, and you kind of just you discover these things by putting it out there, and you're like, oh, like we're getting a lot of bookings from, you know, U.S. Travelers that are playing golf in the local golf courses that are coming from the Netherlands. And then you kind of go like, how can we find more of those? So you just start looking at, you know, golf websites and golf planning tours and that kind of thing. So I think my point is more around what your property is suited to, you know, where it is, the location, and how you can build your brand and your specialities around that, I guess.
Yeah. Another, I love this. And another idea I have is like, on the, you know, total opposite end of the spectrum of like the super curated high end luxury stuff, which is what a lot of people I think, you know, are building right now and want and desire, is like, who's going to go take the total opposite approach and like build a brand purely around like, hey, you're going to get a clean and functional space. And that's it, right? But every single one of our properties is like less than $100 per night or whatever it is, right? Like the $99 collection or whatever it is. And you really focus on, again, it's clean, it's orderly, but like it's basic. And like it's basic because you're only going to be sleeping here. And like of course these properties exist. They're all over the OTAs, but I have yet to see somebody sort of like really own and lean into the brand as like, no, like this is exactly what we're doing and we're proud of it. And we're going to create fun, cool content around it. Like we are sort of the, you know, not the cheap option and not the 99 cent store option, but kind of like that of like, look, it's going to be clean. It's going to be central. We're not going to charge you a lot because we're not putting a lot into the space, and just really owning that. So that would be, that would be really fun to see somebody sort of cultivate and just like slay from a marketing standpoint.
So lots of opportunities like that.
Yeah, totally. Well, man, as we come to a wrap here, I just wanted to give you one last opportunity to kind of speak holistically about this report and just as you look out at the state of the industry right now over the next couple of years here. What are some final kind of takeaways that you have or musings or any predictions that you have with respect to kind of where people's attention should be in this year and into next year and beyond?
Good question. Fundamentally there's still a lot to learn.
Yeah.
We've kind of scratched the surface here. I think it's only for our listeners and who are operators, I think it's going to get more competitive as more people enter the market. There's no sign of that slowing down. We're hearing, the loud voices saying that there might be a slowdown. There's no evidence, at least from my perspective, that that's the case. So guests are going to have more options to choose from, and travel is still booming. So, travel is booming. There's more competition. So we think that operators are going to have to get more savvy. And more savvy means branding. It means not just relying on Airbnb. It means, knowing who your guest is. And not just expecting this booking to come next week, And so that's one thing that we can help from the report. An interesting thing that we're seeing at Uplisting is what we've been working on our mission and vision over the past few weeks, and we have kind of come to this vision or this mission, or the mission, I know, the vision is that we want to empower entrepreneurs to shape the future of the hospitality industry, in particular short-term rentals. And what that means is there's merging of traditional hospitality and short-term rentals, and this whole middle of that is ripe for innovation. And there's just so many things going on here, so much potential that we haven't even considered that will happen. And we just want to be the facilitators of that, so be the the software that can make that happen.
Yeah, that's a grand vision, man, and I love it. That's what's needed. And what I get excited about anytime I get one of your emails with like a product update or whatever, it's always so exciting because I do feel like there are only going to be more needs in the space as more people come into the space, as entrepreneurs, quite frankly, from other industries decide that they want to come build something in hospitality. Like, I do feel like there's so much about the industry that's still antiquated and just a little bit and like out of date, right? And so it's cool to see you guys leading on the product front and really thinking hard about how to build solutions that really do empower people who want to come build things to be able to do so easily. And I think that's exactly what we need more of.
I mean, it's so enjoyable, having these conversations with our customers and potential customers and what they're building. It's like, wow, I never thought of that, but that makes sense. I love that. How can we make that work within our software? How can we tweak that or whatever it is? So it's a fun ride, right? I think it's enjoyable. There's so many more innovation, exciting things to come. So just want to be part of it.
Yeah. Well, Vinny, this has been so fun. I really appreciate you and the team making time for this and for putting together this report. Again, for folks listening, this will be linked below. Episodes 1 and 2 will also be linked below. But I'm just very thankful for all the work that you guys are doing, again, at the forefront here of the space. For folks that do want to learn a little bit more about uplisting, they can go to the uplisting website, which will be linked below. They can connect and follow Vinny on LinkedIn and Twitter. Anywhere else, Vinny, you'd want folks to kind of go to if they're interested in learning more about uplisting and or just interested in consuming more of the content that you all might have?
I think if you on our website just find the report, or I think it's uplisting.io/str, and from there we can send updates if you want, but that's the best way to reach us is there.
Wonderful. Well, appreciate your time, sir. Thank you again for all you're doing, and thanks everybody for tuning in to this awesome special 3-part series brought to you by Uplisting and Behind the Stays.